up to Pesach, so let's talk about a shaila that I got last night, which comes up every year, just in different forms. There was a woman in the neighborhood who was not able to have grape juice or wine for whatever reason. She has a medical condition which does not allow her to have too much sugar, and therefore she cannot have grape juice. So the question is, what are you supposed to do when it comes to the mitzvah of dalet kosas? As we know, the Gemara tells us in Pesachim, in the last parak in Pesachim, that women are obligated equally as men in the mitzvah of dalet kosas b'leil haseder. This is a mitzvah midrabanan. It is not found in the Torah. It's a mitzvah midrabanan. And the reason why women are obligated, even though it is a time-bound mitzvah, it's a mitzvah sasesha hazman grama, is because we assume af hein hayu ba'osa haneis, since the whole reason why we drink the four cups of wine is to remind us to commemorate the incredible miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Therefore, women were just as much a part of that, if not more, like Rashi says, than the men were, and therefore we assume women are just as obligated as men in the mitzvah of dalet kosas. So the question is, what is a person supposed to do who does not have the ability to drink the dalet cups of wine? So first of all, who said that every person at the table actually needs to drink their own cup of wine? After all, we know that every Shabbos, when we make Kiddush, not everybody at the table has their own cup of wine for Kiddush. You have one person, generally the father or the leader of the house, whoever it might be, stands at the head of the table or sits at the head of the table and makes Kiddush, and that works for everybody else. So why would we assume here that life should be any different? So Tosis writes in Pesachim Daf Tzadites, a very famous comment, where the Mishnah says there, lo yifchusu lo midalet kosas. The Mishnah says that even if a person is poor and they don't have the money to afford wine for the dalet kosas, the Gemara says, lo yifchusu lo midalet kosas. You have to make sure to provide that poor person with enough money or wine or grape juice to drink the four cups of wine. So Tosis writes, it would seem she'ein nosnin levanav v'livnei beso kiim li'atzmo. It would seem from the wording that the Mishnah chose to use that you don't have to provide for the whole family that everybody should be able to have four cups of wine. All you need to do is make sure that in every household, one person in the house has four cups of wine. After all, the Mishnah says, lo yifchesu lo. Make sure that that individual person doesn't have a situation where they're not going to have wine. But it doesn't mean that you have to give everyone. It seems you only have to give one member of the house. Usvaru, says Tosis, Demaishna Arba Kosas, why should this story of Dalet Kosas on the night of the Seder be any different mi Kiddush Dechala Shana She'echad Motzi Eskulam? After all, every Shabbos, when we make Kiddush, when we make Havdalah, everybody listens, and one person makes the Kiddush, one person drinks the wine, and therefore that should work over here equally like it works on Shabbos with regard to Kiddush and Havdalah. So that's the argument Tosis writes. However, the conclusion of Tosis is that he thinks, even though he puts forth a good argument, he still thinks that tov lahachmir, it still makes sense that each person should have their own cups of wine. So what is the understanding of Tosis here? Why does he say that this is the same as Kiddush? It would seem clear from Tosis that the mitzvah of dalet kosas on the night of the Seder is not an independent mitzvah at all, but rather this is a mitzvah like the mitzvahs that we perform all year round. Like when we say Kiddush, we have a mitzvah to be mekadesh as HaShabbos. How are we supposed to enhance, how do we augment, how do we complement the bracha that we're saying by holding a cup of wine? That enhances the bracha that's being recited. So Tosis says that's the same over here. We have a Haggadah Shal Pesach, and we have to be Mekadesh, and we have to say Hallel in order to elevate the Hallel, and to elevate the Haggadah Shal Pesach. The way we do that is by holding a cup of wine, but it should be the same as by Kiddush and Havdalah, and therefore it should suffice with one person doing it by himself. So the Maharal, again, the Maharal had two different roles. The Maharal was not only a Baal Machshava, as many people know him, but the Maharal wrote much about halacha as well. So the Maharal writes in his Sefer Gvuras Hashem, he has a lot of comments on the Yom Tov of Pesach there, so there he writes, V'lo hivanti davar zeh, I don't know what Tosis is talking about. D'lo shayich sheyehe echad motzi es achir medalet kosas, how can you tell me that one person is able to perform the mitzvah of dalet kosas on behalf of the whole family? What does that mean? D'mai shnami matzah amar, what are you going to tell me? You can have one member of the family eat matzah, eat mar, and that will be sufficient for everyone. The same way, nobody would say such an outlandish statement that matzah mar can be eaten by one member of the family and that's good enough. So too says the Maharal, how can you say that when it comes to dalet kosas, one person can drink the wine and that would be good enough? So he finds this very difficult, and after all he says, mitzvah deramya alehu, after all it's a mitzvah that is incumbent upon each individual person to do. So how can you say that it's good enough if one person does it? After all, this is the same as matzah and mar. So this is the basic assumption of most of the Achronim. They reject the opinion of Tosis, and therefore we assume that generally each person who's sitting around the Seder table has an obligation, an individual obligation, to drink their own Dalet Kosa. So now back to our story. We have this person who, for whatever reason, is not able to drink too much grape juice, too much wine, and the question is, what are they supposed to do? So one option would have been just have the head of the household drink the wine for them, and that's good enough, but it would seem that that's not generally what we assume. We don't generally assume that one person can do it and that's good for everyone else. Each person is supposed to be provided with their own set of Dalet Kosa. So what should we do in a case like this? So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Tafayin Beis, when he talks about the obligation to drink four cups of wine on the night of the Seder, Mi she'eino shose yayin. Let's say you have somebody who doesn't drink wine all year, Rimpnei Shemaziko, because it's not good for my stomach, or it gives me headaches, or it makes me not feel well. Or Mipnei Shasono, I happen not to enjoy wine. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Tzarech Lidklok Atzmo Velishtos. On the night of the Seder, you have to strain yourself to go ahead and drink the wine anyway. Even though you don't like it, even though you don't enjoy it, even though it might make you sick, you have to do it anyway. So, where is the Shulchan Aruch getting this psak from? It's based off a tshuva in the Rashba, where the Rashba writes this explicitly. And the Rashba, really, it's quoted in the Beis Yosef, so it's from the Rashba. So the Rashba is really quoting a Yerushalmi in Maseches Pesachim, where the Yerushalmi tells a story about Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Lai, and then the Bavli and Adarim also tells a story about Rabbeinu Yonah, that basically the two of them had major problems drinking wine, but on the night of the Seder they would drink the wine, and it says they had such headaches for a few months from Pesach until Shavuos, they would sit and wrap a wet towel around their heads because they had to figure out how to deal with the headaches that they got from the drinking wine on the night of the Seder. So says the Rashba, it would seem person has an obligation to make themselves sick over the drinking of the Dalet Kosas, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins as well. Hold on, we're going to get to the clarification of that in a moment. But the Stechemet picks up on what would seem to be a very basic and obvious question. Forgetting about how sick you have to be and whether you have to do it, he says, just a very practical consideration. So you're telling me, even if I hate the wine and it's very unhealthy for me, I should go and drink it anyway. Ask the Stechemet, what bracha are you going to make on this? Bori Pri Argafen? What are you going to say on it? After all, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Brachos that Misha Shosa Shemen Zayis, someone who drinks Shemen Zayis is olive oil. If you drink olive oil straight, so the Shulchan Aruch writes, Einam of Archalav Klal. You don't make a brach on that. That's Azuke Mazikle. That's going to cause your body not to be healthy. That's going to cause you to be unhealthy. Nobody drinks olive oil straight, natural olive oil like that. So therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, if you go ahead one day, and even if you're thirsty, but you go ahead and you drink olive oil straight as it is, and the Shulchan Aruch writes as well, a few simanim later, what if you have somebody, a crazy person, decides, I'm so thirsty, they go and they take vinegar. Bottle of vinegar, they start drinking vinegar. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you don't make a bracha on wine, on vinegar, you don't make a bracha on olive oil, even though you're taking it for a drink. However, since it's mazik libriyuso, it's something that is unhealthy for me, I don't make a bracha. So says the Stechemet over here as well. What bracha am I going to recite on the night of the Seder when I'm drinking the wine and I can't stand it, and it's not something I enjoy at all, and it's something that not only do I not enjoy, it's something that is harmful, it's detrimental to my health. What bracha am I going to make? Baruch Pri Argafen, the Shulchan Aruch writes, you don't make a bracha, a birchas hanenin, when you're not having hana. So that's a question the Stechemet is bothered with, and he ends off and he says, I don't really understand why nobody from previous generations ever challenged the Shulchan Aruch on this point. Such an obvious point, such a basic point that he makes, and it's something that he's very troubled with. So anyway, it's a major question in general. What does it mean that a person should drink the wine even if it's unhealthy for them? What does that mean? You should drink the wine even if it's unhealthy for you? How far do we go? And in fact, the Birkei Yosef, the Chidah, has a sefer Birkei Yosef on Shulchan Aruch where he quotes earlier Achronim and he says, how can you say that a person has to drink the wine even though it's very unhealthy for them? After all, don't we know, on the holiday of Sukkot, the halacha is mitztayer pater min ha-sukkah. Somebody who feels uncomfortable sitting in the sukkah does not have to do so. So the same should apply over here. A person who is uncomfortable, or for that matter, a person who will get sick from drinking the wine on the night of the Seder, should not have an obligation to do so, the same way that we find that on Sukkot, a person who is comfortable should not have to sit in the sukkah. And there are others who write, the Radvaz takes it a giant step further, and the Radvaz writes in a tshuva, Roa ani, when we're talking about a chole, he says, Shehu pater legamri milikra shnayim ikra v'echa targum. You have a person who's a chole. Someone's in the hospital. So they happen to be uncomfortable, for whatever reason, they just had a surgery. Does that mean they're not obligated in shnayim ikra v'echa targum? It means they're allowed to eat treif? Of course not. So they're not allowed to violate any yisurim. Does that mean they're also absolved from all the mitzvahs? Says the Radbaz, yes, they're not obligated in Shnai Mikra Vechatargim because that's just going to add stress to them. Oh, they're going to be worried, how am I going to finish the Parsha with the Rashis and the Unkelis on time? Therefore, says the Radbaz, forget about it. Person's a Chola, not obligated in the mitzvah, mitzvah, the same way as Pater Menasukah, is also Pater from Shnai Mikra Vechatargim, and that's what the Birka Yosef writes, is Pater from Dalet Kosos also. Why should that be any different than the mitzvah on Sukkahs? In fact, the Rabbi Chanan Wasserman writes in the Kovet Shiurim that he found in the Tshuvas HaGaonim that they discussed, someone who is mitzdayer, for whatever reason, is patur min tefillah. You don't have to daven either. Okay, it's pretty nice. Sometimes we wake up, it's a nasty day outside. I don't feel well, I'm not interested. Say the Gaonim, okay, don't daven, no problem at all. Because the same way we find mitzdayer is patur min sukkah, so too you should extend that to other mitzvahs as well. And the later Achronim say, this is a ridiculous assumption. How can you take it that giant step further and say, oh, the same way that by Sukkot you're going to be pater from Sub Sukkah because you're a mitzdayer, because you're uncomfortable, therefore we should take that and apply it to other halachas as well and say you don't have to go ahead and say the Shnai Mikra, you don't have to go ahead and drink the Dalet Kosos, you don't have to go ahead and daven. The Achronim say, how can you make such an application? After all, by Sukkot, the reason why we have a very special reason why you don't have to sit there is because the whole crux of the mitzvah, the definition of the mitzvah is Teishvu Ke'ein Taduru, means you have to sit in the sukkah the same way you would live in your house. The same way I would never live in a house that's awful to live in, that the living conditions are not healthy for me, are not ones that are of interest to me, so too I shouldn't live in a sukkah like that. So that's why we find the one and only exception to the rule that mitzvah is not obligated in a mitzvah is by sukkah. But you cannot translate that and say, now let's apply it to all other halachas as well and say you're not obligated to daven, and therefore you're not obligated to drink the 4 cups of wine, and you're not obligated in Shnai Mikra Vechatargim. You can't make such an application. It's not the same at all. By sukkah is the only place where we find that. And not only that, the Klozimiger Rebbe writes in his Tshuvas, the Divrei Yatziv, he says such an interesting point. He says, after all, what is the definition of a mitzdar by sukkahs? What's the definition of a mitzdar by the sukkah? You have somebody sitting in the sukkah. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, what if a person has flies and bees buzzing around? So it says, you don't have to sit in the sukkah, that's called a mitzdar. Says the Klozim Megareb. So what are you going to say? Person should never perform any mitzvahs, because after all, we have ants crawling on the floor, and we have flies, and we have bees, and we have everything, we have things bothering us. If you're going to say that we apply the rules of sukkah, of mitzdar, that absolves you from sitting in the sukkah to every other mitzvah, then you'll never do any mitzvahs. Because you always have things in the way. You always have things on your mind, and you always have things that are going to be a disturbance, a distraction to the mitzvah that you're doing. So obviously they write that we cannot apply this halacha of mitzdayer to other mitzvahs, and therefore we leave it as it is. We leave it only by sukkah, and that is why the Shulchan Aruch writes over here that when it comes to Dalet Kosos, even if a person is mitzdayer, even if a person is going to be in pain from it, even if you don't like it, you should drink the Dalet Kosos anyway, because the Ptur of Mitzdayer cannot be applied to other mitzvahs throughout the year. Now, the major million-dollar question of the Achronim is, to what degree did the Shulchan Aruch mean to say this? Really? How far do you have to go to be sick over the Dalet Kosos? After all, the Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Lai sat there with a towel around his head for 6 weeks. I don't know, are we believed to do that? Sounds very extreme, so that's what the Achronim discuss. How far mitzdar does one have an obligation to go in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos? So this is a very important machlokus. The Maram Shik and his contemporaries, the Talmidei Achsam Sofer, wrote, it means you got to make yourself sick up until the point where you're a cholish yesh bo sakana, up until the point where you're afraid you might lose your life. But anything short of that, you have an obligation to go ahead and drink the Dalet Kosos, which means you're going to have headaches, you're going to have a stomach ache, you're going to have all kinds of problems, you're going to be laying in bed because you're drunk or whatever it might be. You have an obligation, says the Maram Shik, to drink the 4 cups of wine, because the only p'tur that you have is when you have a situation of cholosh yesh bo sakana. And the other Achronim say that is unreasonable. We don't assume that way at all. And they moderate it a little bit, and they take a little bit more of a mild approach. And the Mishnah Berurah himself, who's a big machmir in many other areas of halacha, over here he's a big mekel. The Mishnah Berurah says, no, what it means is, if a person is going to be a chola she'ein bo sakana, that's already enough to say that you're not obligated to drink the Dalet Kosos. The Shaar HaTzion explains, why is that the case? Because he says, after all, we're supposed to feel the cheiros. What kind of cheiros is that? You're going to end up in the hospital, you're going to have to sleep in bed the whole afternoon the next day. What kind of yantif is that going to be? You're not obligated to do that, because that is not going to help you have the feelings of Zman Cheruseinu. So therefore, most of the Achronim, Rav Moshe writes like this, and the Mishnah Berurah, and the Talmidim of the Avnei Nezer, the Chalkas Yom, and others, also say that a person only has an obligation to be mitzdar themselves up until a point. But if it's going to make a person feel that they're a chola she'emo sakana, which generally we define as somebody who's going to be mutal mishkav, you're not going to function normally, you have to lay down in bed and you're not going to be well like you normally are, so we would say you're not obligated to do it in a case like that. So just closing, so what do you tell a person to do? Let's say the woman who called said she's able to handle some sugar, so she can drink some grape juice, but she's not going to be able to drink more than 2 cups or something of that nature. So what should she do? So you can't just say, take one little sip of all the 4 cups, that's not good enough, which is a big mistake that people make often. The minimum amount of wine or grape juice that one has to drink is rov hakos. You have to drink most of the cup of wine that you poured for one of the dalet kosos. So the question is here, what do you tell a person to do? So this is also discussed in the achronim. Some achronim say that the 4 cups of wine are ma'akvin ze'ezeh. If you don't have all of them, then you have none of them. That's what Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes from some achronim, and that's what other achronim write as well. If you don't have all the 4 cups of wine for whatever reason, either you don't have enough wine, or you have some sort of condition which doesn't allow you to drink wine or grape juice, that is going to be all 4 cups of wine. They say, if you don't have all, you have none. That is not the accepted opinion. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham, that we assume that no, there is a priority that is given if a person is only able to drink some of the wine and not all of it. And therefore the Mishnah Berurah writes, what a person should do is, the recommendation is, if you can only have 1 cup of wine, he says, the first priority is to have it for Kiddush. After all, Kiddush is an obligation we have on every Yom Tov. So if you can only have 1 cup of wine, have the Kiddush cup of wine. If you can have a 2nd cup of wine, he writes, the second priority is you should also have it for Birchas HaMazon. Because after all, you're really supposed to bench with a cup of wine all year round. Why we don't do it is a good question, but at least on the night of the Seder, the Mishnah Berurah says the first priority is Kiddush, second priority is Birchas HaMazon. And after that, he says, if you can add a 3rd cup as well, then he says you should do it over the Halel Asher Ge'alanu in the middle of the Seder, and that would be what a person should do. The Shalom Eishir, Rabbi Yosef Shal Natanzin, picks up on this point. He says, how can you tell me the priority is either 1st cup for Kiddush and then skip to the 3rd for Birchas HaMazon? Ayem Avirin Ala Mitzvos. So that's a question to think about. It's an interesting one. If you want to look it up, the Shalom Eishim has a whole discussion about it. But basically, there is a priority, and we don't assume that Dalet Kosos Ma'akvin Ze'ezeh. A person should be able to do whatever they are able to do that will not compromise their health. But past that, a person is not obligated to go, because we assume that Mitzdayer, even though it's only Pater and Asukah, but in other areas of Halacha, we assume there is a threshold where we would say a Mitzdayer is Pater as well.